Welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Today, we're going to be talking about child care. And I have three guests in studio with me, Pat Eterno, Shaney Turner, and Liz Visser. And Pat, can we start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about what you do before we begin the discussion?
I am the center manager for the Seaside Head Start Center, and we serve 54 children. I am also the curriculum coordinator and adjunct faculty for Clatsop Community College for the Early Childhood Education Program.
Okay. Shaney?
I'm Shaney Tudor, and I'm the IPV advocate for the Women's Resource Center. I work with women who are victims of domestic violence either during their pregnancy or within the first 3 years of a child's life.
And I'm Liz Visser. I'm the center manager for the Astoria Head Start Center, and we are housed in Gray School with a lot of other really awesome programs. We have Northwest Regional ESD there serving kids with special needs that need additional supports. We have Discovery Preschool, that's a private preschool. We have Little Sprouts, that is a daycare, and we also have the Port of Play through Parks and Recs, and we have the alternative high school, and then the district offices are there. I have two classrooms at Gray School, and we have 36 preschool-age kids. We have a lot of fun. And in addition to that, I also get to be on the board at Peace Learning Center, that is a faith-based center. And I believe they serve kids that are toddler age through after school. And I also get to work with Pat, which is a treat.
Thank you, Liz.
Well, when I asked you when you came in about child care, I think each of you immediately added the words "or lack of it" in the
Correct. Community.
And Pat, maybe you can start us off.
Actually, Astoria is very lucky in that they do have all those wonderful programs that Liz mentioned. But in Seaside, we really have nothing. We are blessed that the Parks and Rec does provide a preschool program, and they do some after-school care. But as far as any kind of early childhood type of centers or daycare, there is nothing. Our families that we work with have to rely on relatives, schedules where one parent is working one shift, another parent's working another, or whatever child care they can find. So it really becomes very challenging for families to find someone to take care of their kids. I mean, when you leave and go to work, you want to know that your child is in a safe place where they're well cared for and being given the tools they need to be successful in life. And when you don't have that, it's very hard to go to work and focus on work because you're worried about your child. Mm-hmm. And if your child is sick and the babysitter that you found doesn't want sick kids there, then it really becomes, where can I go with my child? And if you miss too much work, then parents lose their jobs. And it just becomes a real challenge for parents to be able to work and do what they need to do and know that their children are safe.
Do you think that people who may be older or who may not have small children kind of understand the extent of the need? I mean, I think in all of our heads there's still the old June Cleaver thing where dad went off to work and mom stayed home and raised the kids, and that was what child care was. But it's a different world now.
It's a very different
world. We have a world where both spouses have to work in order to make ends meet. We have single parent families. And if you think about that, if you have to work, you have a child, as you're just saying, what do you do with that child? And affordability has got to be a part of that picture, too.
Speaking to that, we are a service industry, so there are a lot of service jobs out there and not a lot of daycares or babysitters that are willing to work extended hours. So you're oftentimes parents and are looking for a daycare on weekends or evenings, and they really don't have anybody. And so that makes it very difficult.
We also have a lot of grandparents raising kids. We have a lot of really amazing foster parents raising kids right now. We have aunts and uncles raising kids. So we have people that are taking on additional responsibilities raising their kids. And they're the ones that need it too, because there's a financial barrier there. And like you said too, it's also with really difficult schedules. And we even find with our Head Start families that we have a really amazing program, but we're limited. At my center, we have 4-hour classes 3 times a week. So with not having transportation for all of our kids, parents have to get their kids there and then they have to come and pick their kids up. So that becomes a challenge. We're fortunate to have Little Sprouts in the building, and we have some parents that can take advantage of that, but there is a cost that goes along with that. So,
I guess we're at the point now of wanting to talk about how we get from where we are to where we need to be in terms of providing childcare. And you're saying in Seaside, where you are is pretty close to zero.
Correct. Right. And there have been many discussions, many attempts, talks about trying to bring child care centers in, trying to bring some sort of program in. And it just, the reality is you do not make a lot of money doing child care. Mm-hmm. We are very blessed in our program with Head Start that we can provide the quality of service that we do because we have funding. We have 46% of our funding comes from the federal government and 54% comes from the Oregon Department of Education. But without that funding, we would not be successful. So to try to just open up a child care center and to keep it, and again, you mentioned earlier about it being affordable for parents, mm-hmm. to charge the level that you would need to charge and to make the program break even. And on the $10, $11, $12 service industry jobs would be impossible for parents. So every step forward seems to be, it's a real challenge. If you can't make money, and obviously no one's going to run a business if they're going to lose money. So that has been a big obstacle right there, mm-hmm. is there needs to be some sort of financial support, grants or funding or something to make this happen. And the economy win right now, wouldn't that be nice?
Well, why is it, for example, that Astoria is better served right now than Seaside? Is it a matter of community will, or is it a matter of who gets the funding from? The funding comes from the state, I'm guessing, most of it? Would that be correct?
We get 46% from the federal government, and the other remaining 54% comes from the federal government, or from the state.
From the state government.
And so, but the programs that you have here, and I think Liz can probably even speak to that better, but the programs that here all have supportive funding sources. We do have the Parks and Rec program, which Little Sprouts is run through Parks and Rec. And the Parks and Rec does have a after-school program and a daycare program. And Seaside is smaller mm-hmm. than Astoria is, I believe. What, 4,500 to 10,000. Mm-hmm. So some of that comes into play.
And we really saw it. It was very visible for us. The Moms Club of Astoria, they're really fantastic, and they put together a preschool fair last year that we had at Astor Elementary, and it really made it visible to see how fortunate we are here in Astoria with all of the options that parents have. And even as an early childhood educator and as a parent, I learned some things there. I didn't realize some of the things that were going on at Grace Episcopal and at some of the other faith-based organizations here in town, and that it's not about heavy religion, it's more about providing quality early childhood education. So it was really neat to get to talk to some of those people and see the different things that they were doing. So we are fortunate in Astoria, and I don't really know why. I don't know if it's because I know for Peace Learning Center, I mean, they're not making a profit off the Learning Center. It's mm-hmm. something that they've chosen to do, and obviously it's something they do that betters the community. We have kids that will go to Head Start and will also go to Peace, and they have a great partnership with us. And I know that they work really hard with kids that have challenging behaviors, and we work with their teachers, and they really just make sure that they make education work for these kids instead of saying, well, it doesn't work for us, you know, this isn't the right place for you. So I think that that's part of the community here. And I don't really know why mm-hmm. you don't see that as much in yeah. Seaside.
But I think another piece of that, too, is giving credit where credit's due, is the Astoria School District has the Gray Building. Mm-hmm. It's a Robert Gray right. Building. And Craig Hoppus, as the superintendent, has really gone out of his way to be supportive of child care and child care programs. And so he provides, at the lowest cost that he possibly can, provides rent and space to these programs to make it so that they can offer these resources to the community.
And
so
great
that's
school
a big part of it.
Is becoming kind of a stop parents will just stop in there and say, well, I like deer in headlights. I'm new to the community. What do I do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm fortunate because I have a social service staff there. I have Cindy Duncan, who's really great. And she, you know, works a lot with our families, but she can answer questions, or I'm available to answer questions, so we can kind of direct them in the right place. And we do refer a lot of families to child care resources and referrals with Tara Mestrich, and she can answer a lot of their questions, because as Head Start, we can never I can never say, well, Little Sprouts is great, you know, go check them out, but I can refer them to child care resources and referrals. I mean, I can tell them Little Sprouts is in the building, which is really nice for us, but.
So child care resource and referral is, I'm guessing, a state agency, and its purpose is what? To sort of know what's available?
Is to also not only know what's available, but also provide the kind of the central directory or registration. So Tara works with a lot of those child care providers to help them walk through the steps of becoming registered or certified child care providers. Mm-hmm. And part of their requirements is also continuing education. And so she provides classes and training to the child care providers. So she is a resource for them, as well as a resource for parents, as a place to call. I need child care. Who is doing child care? And then the child care providers can come to her for help in setting up and making sure they're in compliance, because they have to be a registered and certified child care provider. There is a whole a lot of steps that one needs to go through to reach that place. Mm-hmm. And so she kind of walks them through it and supports them and helps them.
But that speaks to the idea of being able to have that trust that where you're leaving your child is safe and they'll be well cared for because of training and certification and so on. So if you are a person in Seaside right now and you're in the position of needing child care, who's your first point of contact? Who should you call first?
Would be the Parks and Rec. I would tell them to the Sunset Empire Parks and Rec District in Seaside, which is on Broadway, mm-hmm. To contact them, because, like I said, they do have a preschool program and they do some after school, and they have a variety of programs. Obviously, they're geared for supporting kids in the community. So I would say talk to them mm-hmm. first.
Now, does child care resource and referral play a part in that as well, or are they primarily for people who want to become providers?
They're primarily for people who want to become providers and who are doing in-home child care. Mm-hmm. The Parks and Rec is part of, obviously, you know, the county funds that. So much like what Little Sprouts is actually that program is through Parks and Rec, is through the Astoria Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. They do, the Seaside has their own Parks and Rec program as well. Mm-hmm. But they have their own buildings. So there's actually, they have a whole setup there. They're tied to the aquatic center, to the swimming pool. So they have that whole program together. And they're right across the street from the library. So it's they're able to access those different resources for the kids that are involved in their programs.
So in Astoria, if someone has the same issue, if you're new to Astoria, you haven't been here before, and you are a person who needs child care, what would your first point of contact be?
Well, I usually tell people to give child care resources and referral a call, because she's going to know who's full, who's not, mm-hmm. who's an in-home provider, who's not, the ages you take. If you have an infant, that's a whole other ball game, because a lot of people won't take infants, or it's more expensive to take infants. So if you're looking for, you know, child care for a younger child, it becomes a real challenge. Also with the different hours, Tara knows who is serving at what hours, and if they do have any extended care, which I know is super limited. So that's really, I mean, if I come in contact with someone, that's what I say. It's hard because at one point I was new to the area, and things vary are much word of mouth here, as everyone knows. And, you know, I was fortunate because my daughter started going to Peace, and it was before she was school age, and it was really nice. And, you know, it was just one of the things that made the transition here easier, because when you know you're leaving a child in a safe place, and you know they're being cared for, and you know they're having fun, and you know they're with these, you know, just wonderful, warm people all day, it makes it a lot easier to do your work. And I think that is, it's just a real challenge. And I was very fortunate, and it's one of the reasons that I, you know, I'm on their board, because I really believe in what they're doing. And I think that everyone who is working with young children in this community is doing it for a reason. And they're not doing it because they're making any money. They're doing it because they know the huge benefits it has. And I think that as we're looking at the requirements for these kids going into kindergarten, just getting tougher and tougher and the expectations getting higher and higher, in addition to having a safe place and to have this warm person and to have this relationship that these kids are establishing, it's also really important that they are being prepped to be able to read and they're being prepped to be able to do math and that they really are in an environment that's going to foster creativity and they're really getting the all of the brain development that they need early on. And I know Pat and I mean, with Head Start, we're fortunate because our teachers get to go to trainings and we get to go to trainings and we're constantly getting the newest research and we do get to use a wonderful curriculum. And it's nice because we can share that. We can share our school and the readiness goals. We can share the curriculum that we're using and we can talk to people in the community about that. And I know what we're doing right now with the P3 alignment, which is prenatal or preschool through third grade, is as a community in our county, everyone's getting together to say, what are we doing and how can we make these kids successful? And it's, I mean, there's definitely a movement right now, and but there are, you can just see where some, we still need to work on a lot of things.
Well, it's hard to overestimate how important that would be to parents to have that sort of safe, nurturing place where you can leave your child. Mm-hmm. So you can go ahead and succeed then in your job without having that kind of nagging concern in the background all the time, which would hinder anything about moving forward.
Now, there are a couple, I do want to say, there are a couple of in-home child care providers that do a good job in Seaside, but that's pretty much beyond Parks and Rec. We do have a couple of in-home child care providers, but they fill up like right away. They have an opening, and they're full immediately. Mm-hmm. So there isn't enough supply to meet the demand, but there is a couple that are there.
And there's an issue for any child care provider, as you've been talking about how you support yourself doing it. Mm-hmm. The only answer to that would be more support somehow, because child care providers generally don't get benefits either, do they?
They do not.
I mean, basically, you're getting low
basically.
Pay, you're self-employed, there aren't any benefits, there's no retirement, and so on.
And their hours are, if you think about their hours, because in order for parents to be at work, they have to start accepting kids sometimes as early as 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's well after 5 o'clock mm-hmm. before those kids are picked up for a lot of parents, because they have to get off of work and then go pick up their child. So for those child care providers, it can be 12-hour days
right.
for them pretty easily.
And as you mentioned, Shana, there need to be child care providers at odd hours, too, because we don't all work normal work hours.
Exactly. And something we haven't really talked about yet is children who have special needs, or children who are maybe have some emotional needs, children who have been victims of traumatic events in their home, who are struggling with some of these things, that makes it even more difficult for the parents to find them child care. I've met several people who have children who have special needs, and it's almost impossible for them to go to work and find a job because of trying to find somebody that's not only qualified, but somebody that they feel extremely comfortable with leaving their child mm-hmm. with. So it's something else that we really haven't talked about.
Well, at the Women's Resource Center, you are often dealing with people, women who are coming out of abusive situations, and finding some way for them to get on their feet, I'm sure, includes figuring out a way for them to get child care. How do you do that? What do you do?
Oh, it's very difficult for women who are leaving. Oftentimes, a woman will stay in a situation because of not having child care, or sometimes split custody, 50-50, with the father, with the abuser, because it's easier for them to have the other partner watch their child while they go to work, oftentimes agreeing to things that maybe they necessarily don't want to agree to because it makes the situation easier for them to go to work. So it becomes a whole nother level for them to find child care and to struggle with that. And then oftentimes there's just starting out with a single family income, and that makes it difficult as well.
Can any of you envision or imagine a way that the dynamics of this could change, where providers could have decent pay and could have benefits and so on? What would be required to make that happen?
Well, I will go ahead and say that this is a really exciting time to be in the field of early childhood. The research that has been coming out since the 90s that those of us have been in the field that have been like, well, yeah, brain development in birth to five is really important, is really on the forefront right now. And we're hearing a universal pre-K, you know, we're hearing these things now. And I think that what Pat's doing up at the college is really fantastic. And the fact that if it's something that you're interested in, there are multiple volunteer opportunities. You know, it's really easy to get on the criminal registry through the state website. If you want to volunteer in a Head Start classroom, I mean, that's something we have community volunteers. They go through a training with us. They have to be on the criminal registry. But that's something you can always do. I know that any other child care provider would be more than happy to have, you know, a certified volunteer in there that's on the criminal registry, so you could see if this is something that you're interested in, and then you can go to ClatsUp and you can take the classes. I mean, like I said, I just think this is an exciting time to kind of be in this field. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing more and more parents that are working. We're seeing a greater need for it. So
you're suggesting that part of the solution to the shortage would be members of the community stepping forward and not becoming full-time child care providers necessarily, but being willing to help, getting some training, getting some registration, and then being willing to step in on a short-term basis, maybe once a week or twice a week?
Or maybe thinking outside the box and thinking, you know, we always look at Gladstone, which has an amazing thing that they're doing in Gladstone, Oregon, and they have a large facility, and I think it used to be a grocery store, and it was mm-hmm. a Thriftway, and right. they turned it in. It's now Head Start. WIC mm-hmm. is there. There's a physician there. It's like a one-stop shop, and really everything you need is right there in this one community building. And I think that as a community, we just have to look and say, there's a need. What do we do? We, you know, ultimately, every dollar invested, you get seven back on early childhood. Right. That's, mm-hmm. you know, the return rate is really huge, and what you're doing for the community is really huge. So, I mean, that's what I think. I think that we have some of the starts for it. We just...
Well, and I think funding, I mean, it comes down to, as a state, as a community, stepping forward and saying, yes, our children matter. Mm-hmm. And we need to find the dollars and the resources to be able to provide the services that families need. So, like Liz mentioned with Gladstone, that they put together a one-stop shop. So it doesn't become, if you set something like that up, not one person has to shoulder the whole burden of the rent and the utilities.
Right.
But if people partner together and approach the problem collectively and everybody contributes a piece, it can be successful and this problem can be solved.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing it right. They did it in Warrenton. So Warrenton Elementary School has Warrenton Prep there right now, and that's been a successful program for them. So they're doing, I think, I wish we had Ruby Leo here, who's the new director for them, to talk about it. But I know they're doing after school, and they've got a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old program. So they're doing really quality
doing
preschool
also.
And pre-K.
And child care.
And each community sort of has to be involved in doing this, because for a parent, the care has to be somewhat near. In other words, you can't be driving great distances to take your child somewhere and then back to work and so on. That wouldn't work right. over a long-term basis.
Especially those who rely upon the local transportation. It's extremely difficult for them to catch a bus to get their child to daycare and then try to wait for the other bus that sometimes takes a while to get to their job. So mm-hmm.
we have parents that walk their children because they don't have cars. They will actually walk their child to school or to the babysitters and then have to walk back to their job. So for them, walking 3, 4, 5 miles a day is nothing by the time they do this whole loop. And in the weather that we have here in the Pacific Northwest, that can really be hard on parents, because, I mean, on those days where it's rainy, windy, and the rain's coming down sideways, and there's just no staying dry, mm-hmm. they're out there walking with these 3- and 4-year-olds and babies in strollers because they don't have cars, they don't have the transportation, it isn't all together for them. So they really have to work to make it happen.
Well, let me hand you the magic wand, and you can change one thing in the way things are done right now. What you have the wand, you have the power to change anything. What would that be?
Money. it would be to create money. I mean, create the money. I mean, we know what it takes. It has been implemented, like Gladstone has done, the one-stop shop, where you can create the opportunity for childcare, preschool programs, transportation hubs, WIC, disabilities. Northwest ESD provides a lot of services to with their early intervention. Put all the players in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has the funding to serve families. So families know they can come to this one place. And from here, I can catch the bus to my job.
Mm-hmm.
There will be the support will be there. I come here, I drop my child off, I catch the bus, I go to work, I come back, I can talk to WIC. I can get the food stamps taken care of. I can get all the things that I need in one place. And then I can take my child, and my child is safe and right here. Then I can take my child and go home.
Shani, we're going to pass the wand to you.
Well, I think Pat's exactly right when she says support. We need to be able to offer wraparound support to hold these people up and help them be successful. It's a very hard world to navigate. We all know that. There's so many difficulties, and I think getting to your job should be one of the easiest things to do, but unfortunately, it's not that way. So I think just recognizing that there is a need and doing everything we can to help support and uplift people.
Liz?
I think that if there were one thing that I would love to see, obviously it would be more quality providers, but it would be everybody on the same page too, and kind of what Pat was saying about the one-stop shop, that, you know, we're all using the same kind of curriculum and we're all looking for the same things and we're all sharing the same common goal on getting kids ready, keeping kids safe, and, you know, just fostering as much brain development as we can early on. I think that, but yeah, I mean, more quality providers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be the biggest thing. And I guess it all comes down to money.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we are really blessed with in this community is mm-hmm. we have a lot of people who are passionate and really care. We have a program, Connect the Dots, which is all the community partners come together and meet once a month and share, network, connect, talk about how can we build bridges, how can we better support the families that we're working with. Because there's many times we intersect on the families that we serve. And so what I see in this community is such a high level of personal commitment, and the people that work in all the various agencies that serve the public, and people go above and beyond and really go out of their way to try to help and support the families. So we are very blessed in that we have the people that care, we have the people that are passionate, we have the people that have made the connections. What we need now is the funding to be able to put that all together in a place and make it happen.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming. We've about run out of time, and we've been talking with Pat Eterno
mm-hmm.
And with Liz Visser, both of whom work for Head Start, one in Seaside, one here in Astoria, and with Shani Tudor, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Yeah, who works with the Women's Resource Center. So thanks very much, and also we probably ought to give out the phone number again for child care resource and referral. The number is 503-325-1220. And they also have a toll-free number, 877-333-4960. You've been listening to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Thanks very much for joining us.